Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast. Brandon is putting on his accountant hat as we speak, but this is a biggie. If you haven't done your taxes yet, we're going to give you 5 seconds of silence to prepare mentally and spiritually. Here is the headline: Smart Tax Planning, 4 Red Flags for an IRS Tax Audit, and How to Avoid the Audit Lottery. This coming to us via the great Kate Dewore at MSNBC. I'm hoping that you give Kate a woke MAGA meter on this. I'm hoping she's the woke tax man.
She is definitely the woke tax man. If you look at her, byline, it says, you know, whatever, buy. And I was like, wait, you mean, is she buy? And then she has a rainbow flag. And then I looked at her Twitter. She's very LGBT friendly. So I'm assuming she's woke, but she's also CFP. So you never know.
Are taxes still due on April 1st? I feel like they keep pushing.
15th.
I know, but they keep pushing these deadlines because of COVID. Like, I don't even know when taxes are due anymore.
I think they did it in California with the fires. So if you're in a place where there was a natural disaster, you get an extension just automatically. But I think for the rest of us, it's still the 15th.
Okay, before Brandon gives you some free tax advice, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions, Brandon. Number one, first, have you ever known anybody to not pay their taxes?
No one's admitted to me they haven't. I might know people, but
I have a very good friend who I'm not going to name check, did not pay his taxes for 5 years.
What?
Yeah, literally just didn't pay him. Is that the craziest thing you've ever heard?
Why? Can I ask you a question? You don't have to name check anybody or give me, but why did they give you a reason why they didn't do it?
I think it was a combination of that they're just not all there together and like nobody will know. When they revealed this to me, I was like, that is so crazy. By the way, not for a year, for 5 years.
I would say to that person, there are many things that people will not know, but the one thing for sure it's going to be known is the IRS is going to know if you paid your taxes. They will catch up to you at some point. Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow, but someday. And for the rest of your life, Larry. Yeah, that's weird.
No, I mean, I agree with you. You're not trying to convince me. I definitely was.
No. I'm just curious why in the world they would think they could get away with it, but whatever.
It'd be great if we could have this person on.
Yeah, I would love
Anyways,
it.
Not 1 year, 5 years. The second part is, have you ever known anybody to get audited?
Not that I could think of. I'm sure someone at some point has been audited that I know. Then this time, do people talk about getting audited? Unless it's like your best friend.
Yes, I have a good friend.
Oh, man, look at you.
And one of his like big red flags was he got married, so then he got a bunch of cash gifts and then got a car. There was just like all these things. And like, I remember him saying like he had to go into the IRS, sit across from an agent, bring all these receipts in. It's just not a pleasant experience. Yeah. Like it is, you know.
Well, part of this struck me because I started this little company a couple years ago and we're just starting to make money, which is kind of nice, but it's also a little bit stressful for me because I've got to figure out how to do all this stuff. At this point, just use QuickBooks, but a lot of people will eventually go to an accountant just because of that. The one thing that I do know is you keep your records and keep them straight so that you can actually tell the IRS if you did something. I think that most likely if you've tried your best to do the right thing and aren't trying to cheat, most likely the worst that's ever going to happen to you is some sort of a monetary penalty for like paying late or you're like, oh, you short $1,000, you got to pay $1,000. Very rarely do people go to jail unless they've actually really cheated. So I'm not too worried about that.
Okay, there's lots of times it's great to be a 5'10 white guy from the suburbs, and there's lots of times it's not. Mm. I am the smallest of potatoes. Like, the IRS coming after me would be like, so I guess that's good and bad, right? Because the IRS is not going to come after me. But here, on the flip side of that, let's just say you're a single mom. You've gotten divorced, you're raising a couple of kids, you're working 20 jobs. Taxes aren't the easiest thing. I mean, I'm a college educated man. Mm-hmm. It does take a little bit of inertia to go to wherever you go to get it done. It's not the easiest thing in the wide world.
Yeah, well, and obviously the tax code has been made purposely complicated so that companies, people that pay a lot of people money to get around this, it's complicated for a reason. It's not for you and me that it's complicated. It's complicated so people can hide money or move money or do whatever. And
well, but those people have the means to pay a tax person.
That's right. What I'm saying, but it doesn't mean it's not complicated for you and me who use QuickBooks or Tax Act or whatever they use to do their tax, or even go to a H. You know, I had a friend once that went to H&R Block, and yep. I did not realize this is one of those like life lessons you get, thank God, from somebody else and not yourself. She went to H&R Block, brought all her stuff, and they didn't do it right, and she had to pay this big fine. So she went back to H&R Block and was like, "Hey, you messed up my taxes." They're like, "Well, that's just you signed away the right to sue us or whatever." When you, I mean, I guess in the fine print it says we're not responsible for the veracity of this tax claim. The form. I thought that was crazy.
So I'm once again have confessed already that I'm like a pretty simple guy. I kind of have a business two-ish. Like 10 years ago, someone we knew was like, "Hey, I have a tax guy. You should go to a tax guy." And what you do when you go to a tax guy, you still, like you said, you still have to bring all of your stuff. It's not like you go in there, they magically do your taxes.
No.
You still have to collect all the stuff to begin with.
Yeah, and that's why being really organized, like I keep a spreadsheet of every hour I do. I keep every receipt. Luckily, we live in an age where receipts are typically electronic now, so we're not having to like pull everything, you know, back in the old day when the dude's got his receipts in his car and he's got to staple them together and date them and all that stuff. Nowadays, it's like the receipts from wherever you went. So I try to use my company credit card when I do company things. So, and I think that's where a lot of people get in trouble is when they cross over. So say they have a business and they use the business to pay for personal stuff. Like I would never do that. Like it just, I'm so afraid of the IRS that I wouldn't do it. What?
Hold on. You're using the Smarticle credit card
to pay for Smarticle?
For different events?
No, I'm doing things for like paying for our hosting service. What do you think, dude?
For the record though, because is this the first time you filed like as a personal business?
No,
or whatever?
No. I filed because I started it not last year was my first full year.
And that was the first year you started writing things off for Smarticle?
Right.
Because I've been doing this for a while, like the broadcast thing is a side business, and so I, you know, like you're out to dinner with someone and they ask me about Smarticle, that's a write off.
Those rules have changed a little bit. I mean, in the last year they've changed where you can write off less, and it's true. It is entertainment. That's okay, so this is about audits. You're more likely to get audited if you write things like that off. Bottom line is, they're going to look.
Yeah, but here's
the
thing: I can, like you just said, everything is automatic these days. I have a credit card receipt of every time I go out to drink or eat.
Right.
And so if someone come in and call me into an IRS audit, I'd be like, "Oh yeah, I was out this night with this person, and we discussed."
Yeah.
Blah blah blah. Yeah. I would be able to justify anything.
Right. As long as you have a record, that's my point. As long as you have a record.
Well, who doesn't have a record? You're going out to dinner and paying cash and not remember
I think that happens all the time.
That cannot happen.
You pay cash?
I mean, who pays cash for
That's why I say I use the Smarticle credit card if I go out and do something like that.
But you don't even use the Smarticle credit card. You use any credit card.
I could, but I'm saying is that audits oftentimes happen when you cross over, when you use a personal card for...
Bro, you can cross the lines.
You can, Larry.
You can cross the streams because there's a record of it.
Hey, dumbass, that's not the point. The point is the article's all about most people don't get audited. It's really a low number. Most times it's people with high net worth or corporations or things like that.
Yeah.
But it does happen to people like you and me. I'm simply saying if you keep those things separate, you have less of a chance of getting audited. That's the point.
You're a little bit of a nerd. Audit rates of individual income tax returns decreased for all income levels from years 2010 to 2019, largely because they didn't fund the IRS. IRS audited 3.8 of every 1,000 returns during fiscal year 2022. Now, this is not helping my friend who didn't pay his taxes for 5 years, because it seems like with a number like that, they're not going to get you. Three out of every one. Okay, let's call 4 out of every 1,000 returns are only getting audited. By the way, if you don't make a lot of money, you probably don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but it's okay. So this is the nerdiest I'm going to get. But it's not like you have a 0.04% chance of getting audited. That's not it. It's 4% or it's 0.4% of the thing. So 4 out of 1,000 got audited. But those people were red flags. So there's an algorithm they use to determine who gets audited. So it's for the average person, it's even far less than 0.04%. It's probably, I don't know, 1 in 100,000 that actually gets picked at random. The point is, if you want to move yourself higher on that percentage list, do things that raise attention of the IRS.
Well, that's interesting to say that, because algorithms are right? And so, like, if you have some crazy year, I'm assuming that's one of the things, like, you have some spike in something, they're going to be like, okay, let's get that dude that just...
Yes. You know. Do you want to go through the four things or you want to hold off on those? Because I don't want to... You always get mad at me.
Yeah, we're going to go through the four things.
Because we're already deep into the show. You haven't even talked about them because you're so worried about getting caught. I'm just saying.
Well, the number one thing here on how to not avoid IRS audit is to not report income.
Right.
Like, hello, like, we needed to write that down. Don't...
Right, but I think that what happens is people, they'll get paid and they forget to put it in QuickBooks.
What?
Or I don't know, dude. I'm just saying. Or they get paid under the table. I think that's where a lot of income gets hidden. Like,
well, that's
like,
fine.
They get paid under the table and don't report that, and then it shows up on some record somewhere, okay?
If you're Bill Gates and you're getting paid under the table, I'm assuming you're screwed. But if you're Joe Blow and you're getting like $500 a month under the table, I feel like you're going to be fine.
Most likely not, unless there's a record, Lawrence.
Okay. All right. Another red flag could be excessive deductions compared to what is normal for you. Once again, like if you're doing things that aren't normal.
You make $100,000 a year, but yet you have deductions of somebody who makes $10 million a year, right? You deduct everything. So like you pay zero income tax because of all your deductions. That's a red flag. That could get you. You may be doing it totally legit, but you might get audited.
But once again, if you've done it by the book for so many years and all of a sudden you don't, that's like the mole's poking his head out and being like, bonk me on the head, IRS.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of this stuff just seems like common sense, but it does happen to people. So be aware that you've got to report your income where it's coming from or you might get caught.
And then they're saying accuracy, like...
No, they're not. They're saying round numbers. Again, it's the algorithm.
No. Well, listen, that's ridiculous. I read the round numbers. Like, someone is like, I just made 36,000 straight up. Like, no. Nobody's made, like, what would be the odds that you made a round number?
Well, lots of people make exactly that amount of money. In a sense, if you have a salary of $60,000 a year and you don't make any more money, that's your W-2 shows up. It's $60,000. I mean, you put on whatever. Their point is, again, it's the red flags. If you're getting, it's not just round numbers in, it's like round numbers in your write-offs and round numbers in your all those things. When you just see zeros as opposed to like 31 cents, it's going to trigger the red flags. That's the point. Just put the right numbers down.
The last one is the earned income tax credit. It's a tax break for low to moderate income workers. Mm-hmm. I've never known anybody to get this. I like momentarily tried to research it. They're saying you do not want to mess with that.
No, because that's for people that are for basically poor people. It's if you do that, they're going to look at your income. They're going to figure out how much you spent. And if you get more than that, yeah, you're in trouble because you're basically stealing from the government at that point.
So like I own a condo in San Francisco and I'm also applying for the low to moderate income tax credit. Do you think that's the me sticking my head out of the hole getting waxed?
I think it has more to do with your total... what your liquid assets are, and also how much you make a year. So, for instance, I'm sure that a city like San Francisco, it is impacted by the cost of living there, right? So I don't know I've never applied for the earned income, but if you're living in a city where, let's just say it costs $1 million a year and you only make 100, that might sound like a lot to somebody in Omaha, but it's not a lot to somebody in San Francisco. So I don't know, but there is a number, there is a way to figure out the earned income tax credit.
You know that my favorite thing that we do on Smarticle Podcast, me and you, is like, let's talk about women's issue, and it's two 50-year-old men talking about it. I love that we literally just talk tax for 13 minutes, and you're not an accountant, you're trying to figure this stuff out. Like, I just love that someone's like, okay, I'm going to get some tax.
That's what this article is about. That's why she wrote it, to help people.
But my point is like, oh, I got some good tax advice. Larry Brandon, they hooked me up. I'm all set.
Please email Larry.Olson at smarticle.com so that if you use his advice and you get audited, it's on Larry.
At the IRS office, and she's like, well, Brandon and Larry were saying that if I just round it up to the most common denominator.
Even better. Knock, knock, knock. Is this Pat Olson? Apparently you... I'm Bob Newworth with the Internal Revenue Service.
Good Lord.
But my son Larry said that it's okay to write everything off.
Good God. Please. You know, but I will say this. Just what you said, just kind of have a somewhat general explanation of what you're doing would be my... And then you can talk to the tax guy and be like, I made a mistake, even if you didn't, but you're kind of in the ballpark.
Yeah, it seems like it, right? It seems like it. But Larry, I'd like to thank you for teaching us all what not to do with our tax, because you played a little bit footloose and fancy-free, buddy.